Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
Thank you, and the Lord bless Amen. Each of you. And Bonnie, during the Daughters of Lion, you talked about the hundredfold.
Yes, remember? Yes. You know, you can be seated. Many of you saw the illustration or heard us talk about it, but you know, the hundredfold is mentioned in Scripture several times. One of my favorite and first is Isaac stayed in the land. That's important. Stayed in the land and sowed in a time of famine, and in the same year he reaped a hundredfold. And we know Jesus talked about a hundredfold return on his sowing into our lives, a hundredfold return in our sowing into the kingdom. But we think of it 1 times 100. But that is not what a hundredfold is. And someone a few years ago did the math on what a hundredfold actually is exponentially. And he took the measured thickness of the typical paper that our Bibles are printed on. You know, that special, very thin, nice paper that our Bibles are printed on. And there's a little video that you can go on YouTube and watch, and it will, excuse me for saying it, blow your mind. Because if you fold it over one time, how many thicknesses do you have? Fold that over 2 times, how many do you have? Fold that over 3 times, how many do you have? Right, so it begins to grow exponentially. If you fold that just nth of a centimeter 100 times, it is the distance from Earth to the moon and back with some left over. So look at your neighbor and say, by revelation, I bless you this year that all of your sowing of seed in every way, every day, will increase this year 100-fold.
Amen.
To the moon and back. Sorry, I have to add one more thing.
Jackie
We're just
Gleason
being wild
to
today.
Talk about to the moon.
But yeah, anyway. I know. Something just occurred. I believe this is the Holy Ghost. I really do, if you can catch it. When Buzz Aldrin made the lunar trip, if you remember, he was an elder in the Presbyterian Church, and he determined to take the communion elements with him. And he was supposed to be the first man to actually set foot on the moon. And he had determined that the first act and the first words to be said by man on the moon would be to take communion and declare that territory, the territory of the Lord Jesus for the glory of God. When they got up there, right at the last minute, the other dude stepped forward and stepped down. But Buzz Aldrin still did what he said he would do, and he took communion there on the moon. And suddenly I saw, when I said to the moon and back, it was like the Lord was laughing, saying, it all belongs to me.
Amen. Amen. Just one thing I want to adjust your statement about knowing Suzanne 20 years. We have known, and I got to tell a story about this. This is nearly 40 years ago, and we have involved in the whole thing was our good friends, Dick and Cindy Leggett. Dick is now the president of Derek Prince Ministries. Dick and Cindy, just stand up for a moment. So as we were, Brother Derek and Jim Croft and myself were pastors of the church. Dick was our worship leader. And we had, at that time, Brother Derek had been widowed. And then he found a delightful lady that the Lord said, you can, you know, be joined. And so they were going to have a wedding. And of all things, you never thought of me
as a wedding planner.
As a wedding planner. But I was put in charge of the wedding, of seating about almost 700 people. And there were people from all over the nations and all across the country. And I had to do the seating arrangement for all of these honored guests. And I so remember that in the front row, because he was, your dad, Suzanne, was part of the wedding, and he was one of the main men who was honored to carry the huppah. The little, covering.
Yeah, the huppah. Mm-hmm.
And
over the bride and groom, yeah.
Your dad and mom had some of the place of honor right on the front row, and I was the one who had made the squares and put Roy and Pauline Harder right there on the front
that
row.
That is right.
So this 40 years ago.
That is true. That was at Pier 66, a very famous hotel in South Florida, where we had this event. And somewhere in the context of all of those logistics, right at a last moment, I was given an assignment to call Pauline in her hotel room and tell her some particular dynamic has changed, and she was supposed to meet Roy at X point or whatever. Well, she wasn't expecting anybody but your father to be calling her. So she picked up the phone and she said, "Hello, darling." And I went, "Miss Pauline, this is Bonnie Chavda." And she just busted out laughing. So I'll never forget. I remember her voice often from that, you know, that phone moment.
And Dick and Cindy, you were part of that wedding. You were there. You remember? Yeah. So
wow.
Fun. It's
right.
Great.
It's been 40 years or something that we've known. 78. Wow.
78.
1978. Wow.
How about that? That is true.
Glory.
So we got it. Amen. So this is a season that we pray for the peace of Israel. Peace of Jerusalem and bless Israel.
Amen.
Every Friday. And so, but this is special this week. So February 28th through March 1st is Purim. And this is where pretty much it's custom to go semi-crazy with joy. Say joy.
Joy.
So this is where God, in a most unique way, in this the book of Esther. So this is the time where their custom commands them to focus on the book of Esther and celebrate what God did for his people.
Hallelujah.
So this is the time. So I'm going to take a moment to from the Message Bible. This is the triumph when Haman.
Boo!
Yeah, we. And Mordecai. So we're going to read, I'm going to read at least from the Message Bible, from Esther chapter 9. And it's custom for them to read at least twice from the book of Esther, the whole book. But it says in verse 20, Mordecai wrote all this down and sent copies to all the Jews in all King Xerxes' provinces, regardless of distance. And this is about 450 BC, something like that. So it is about 500 years before the Lord's coming. And it was essential that God's people would be preserved so they could, the remnant could go up to Jerusalem. And see how the devil is so nasty and so sneaky. And he wanted to destroy all the Jews so Messiah could not come.
Yeah, right.
So it was his sneaky plan in that way. But this book is so unique in the sense, and it should inspire us, because God's name is not mentioned up front. And yet all through his name is there. His presence is there. And so just it is for us to know that when you, whether you are aware of it or not, God is with you.
Come on.
And that as he picked that little orphan girl, a woman of destiny. I mean, I was,
thank you, Lord.
I've seen the movie Wonder Woman a couple of times. And then during our hallelujah parties here, I've hugged several little Wonder Women. But
Wonder Women, yes.
Yeah. And but in the Bible, I see Esther in the Wonder Woman costume.
That's awesome.
Because she
brilliant.
Amazingly.
Yeah.
I mean, Wonder Woman does great exploits, but think about one young girl, an orphan girl, anointed of God, saving the entire Jewish nation. And that's what we did. So give her a big clap.
Yay!
We need that. We say Esther, yes.
And Pastor Mahesh, if I could just mention about our idea of this king that she was dealing with, that chose her ultimately to be his queen. And I know, God bless him, that a good friend of ours did a movie and a few things a few years ago. And it was all, you know, the romantic idea of this guy that was so gorgeous and gracious and wonderful. But that was not this king. If you read about this king, he was absolutely dreadful and terrifying. He was the king that was engaged in the very famous Battle of Thermopylae against the Spartans.
How many of you saw 300?
Or know the story about the hot gates,
the
Battle of Thermopylae. That king was more correctly depicted in that horrible movie than he was in the Tommy Tenney One Night with the King. So it would be I've read about him historically, and they did have a law that if you showed your face in front of him, I don't care who you were. If you dared to put yourself in front of him, if he didn't send for you, it was death without a doubt. So she was, when she came to this moment in her history, she wasn't saying, well, you know, perhaps she knew that she was laying her life down for the chance to make intercession for these horrible decrees to be turned. So in a way, or in more than a way, Esther depicts Christ.
You were talking about the other, I was talking about 300. Just wanted you to know that was a great movie.
Well, I had to add that comment because Christians, do not be confused. Don't send your children to see that movie.
Anyway, I was reading from the
Our
Word
boys are in the movie industry, so we're a little blind to all some of the that's in a lot of movies.
That's true. Mordecai wrote all this down and sent copies
Yay!
To all the Jews. In all King Xerxes' provinces, regardless of distance, calling for an annual celebration on the 14th and 15th days of Adar. How do we know? We don't know the correct pronunciation. If we were there 450 BC, we would know Adar. It could be that. As the occasion when Jews got relief from the enemies, the month in which their sorrow turned to joy. So that was, amen. So there was a decree, and the king's decrees could not be ever canceled.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
And the crazy thing, you read about it at the beginning of the book, they made those laws when they were drunk as skunks. They would have these big prolonged drinking parties, and in that context, their weird thinking was, this is where we get revelation. And they would write their laws during that time. And you could not change the law.
You know, we think of a party as one night. Or if you had an Indian wedding, it's 7 days. But these guys celebrated 6 months and outdid each other. So, talk about being totally whizzed out. They drank. So on the 15th days of Adar, 14th, 15th, as the occasion when Jews got relief from their enemies, the month in which their sorrow turned to joy, mourning somersaulted into a holiday for parties and fun and laughter. Say fun.
Fun.
Laughter.
Laughter.
That's what the Lord did as he turned around what the enemy had planned. The sending and receiving of presents. Yay.
Yay.
And of giving gifts to the poor.
Wow.
And they did it.
Wow.
What started then became a tradition, continuing the practice of what Mordecai had written to them. Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the arch enemy of all Jews, had schemed to destroy all Jews. He had cast the pur, the lot, to throw them into a panic and destroy them. So Haman is descended from King Agag. Talk about that. Talk about a horrible name. Agag. Oh. Agag.
We could say Agag.
Agag. That's true, too. We don't know again how that's pronounced.
Some say Agag. Some say Agag. Let's call the whole thing up.
But he was an Amalekite. They were the most horrible, vicious, nasty, murdering clan, and God cursed them.
It's raining.
Yay. That in the Bible is a blessing. I will give you the rain, the former, and let it rain. Amen, Lord. Thank you.
Now, wasn't this guy the descendant of the one that Saul saved when the Lord said,
exactly.
Kill them all?
Yeah.
Wow.
Saul disobeyed God when God said destroy every remnant of these evil. And Saul made an excuse. Well, I just took the best so I could give an offering to you. No, he disobeyed God. But because of that, this Haman was able to plan to destroy the people of God and had the position and the ability, without Esther's intervention, he would have succeeded.
So it's
an amazing thing. I mean, one of the things, therefore, realize that Haman is representative, even for us today,
boo,
that there is a satanic enemy of God's people. Yeah. That throughout, and we don't need to say, oh, what did we do wrong? That the Jews could have said, what did we do wrong? What? No, the devil hates you. Hello? Hey, wake up. The devil hates you. So don't feel sorry for yourself. But God is on your side.
Yay!
Oh, my goodness.
He does battle against your enemy.
This is sort of like the Spirit-filled Life Bible where they keep having those little boxes with interruption and commentary. But as you were speaking of that, Mahesh, honestly, I saw and heard the plan to revive the whole movement around pro-abortion. And it is at the heart of these women's marches is that thing. And I believe the Holy Spirit just literally quickened that to me in a word saying, Bonnie, they are still planning on destroying my people by murdering the unborn. And so as we celebrate Purim, we agree together here in this place that the Lord will lift up a standard against the evil plan to reinvigorate the abortion movement. And we say there is a line in the sand. We call upon the God of life and glory to create a turnaround and intervene and put this abortion issue to ground once and for all. Deliver, O Lord, the lives of our children.
And that is recognize that is a spiritual force. It is not just those human beings, but remember the apostolic instruction to us. We battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers.
Yeah.
And there is a dark spirit of death and destruction that plans against us and our children and our children's children. Yes. And we bind the spirit of Haman today in Jesus' name.
Yes, boo! Yes!
So this is not just some ancient history that we are studying.
Yeah.
This is our handbook to realize that we do battle and that we need each other. Remember that as Esther is confronted and says, for such a time as this, you have been called.
Yeah.
This is the word of God for each of us, that for such a time, you have been called. Don't lament for past days or future days. Now is the time. Say, now is the time.
Now is the time.
This is the day.
This is the day.
So God's mantle comes upon his people and his anointing. But as Esther has been given, you know the story, as Esther has been, and it's so beautifully acted. Thank you,
Esther,
Mary, and everybody who put all that wonderful little scenario together with our kids. And it's good for our kids to know these are stories. But they're emblematic, and they teach us today that there is an enemy, but God is on your side.
Hallelujah.
God is on our side, and we have the victory. So it says, as Haman did his evil plan, when Queen Esther intervened with the king, he gave written orders that the evil scheme that Haman had worked out should boomerang back on his own head. He and his sons were hanged on the gallows. That's why these days are called Purim, from the word pur or lot. Therefore, because of everything written in this letter, because of all that they had been through, all the Jews agreed to continue. It became a tradition for them, their children, and all future converts to remember these 2 days every year on the specified date set down in the letter. These are days are to remember, to be remembered and kept by every single generation, every last family, every province and city. These days of Purim must never be neglected among the Jews. The memory of them must never die out among their descendants. Queen Esther, the daughter of Abihail, backed Mordecai, the Jew, using her full queenly authority. Say authority.
Authority.
In this second Purim letter, to endorse and ratify what he wrote.
Wow.
Calming and reassuring letters were read out to all the Jews throughout the 127 provinces of Xerxes' kingdom. To fix these days of Purim, the assigned place on the calendar, dates set by Mordecai the Jew, what they had agreed to for themselves and their descendants regarding their fasting and mourning. Esther's word confirmed the tradition of Purim and was written in the book. Amen.
Amen.
And that's the book of Esther. Praise God. So, say, we win.
We win!
And that's good for us and our children to know. And that the Feast of Purim was preceded by a fast. So this is where Esther says this great responsibility has come up on my shoulders. And he asked Mordecai, tell all the Jews to go on a 3-day fast, complete fast. This was not just Daniel fasting. Oh, it was without food or water, because this was intense battle. That's why I want to commend this fellowship and our partners who join us at certain regular times of the year. And I would encourage you that we, ahead of the battle, we have got on our knees and fasted together. It wasn't just Esther fasting. It wasn't just her handmaidens fasting. It wasn't just Mordecai fasting. They all, multiple hundreds of thousands of Jews, got on their knees, prayed and fasted to the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and say, Lord, give us a turnaround. Let this boomerang back on the enemy. And sure enough, it happened. But it was a supernatural event, and it was a miracle. Say miracle.
Miracle.
So God is involved, and even today, God is involved in giving us a turnaround. But we, if my people called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. So we have made it as a discipline. Last I remember with Mike and Alice's little baby, yeah. That was one of our main fasts last year for Noah. This year, we have also reached, February 14th? That was our final day of the fast. But we are going to see the reward upcoming. And we thank you, Lord, for that. So it is, this is one of, as we follow the book of Esther, that this is the time that we make a decision, we're going to rejoice. Tell your neighbor, rejoice, neighbor.
Rejoice.
God is giving us miracles.
Yes, God is giving us miracles.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And it says in Esther 4:14, for if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. Who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this. For such a time as this. Say, Lord, I'm available.
Lord, I'm available.
For such a time as this. And may you be an instrument of evangelism, of reaching out, of interceding for others so that they may all get a miracle. And that Haman is defeated. That we take authority over the spirit of Haman.
Yes.
Thank you, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And that Amalek
is
destroyed.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Thank you. Wow.
And Haman is used to, he was. You find he's an enemy, called the enemy of the Jews, and realize, by the way, part of the thing you realize, even today, there are certain voices raised up against Israel and against Jerusalem. And we are in a major prophetic event that we are just 3 months from our nation declaring without any apology, we as a people and as a nation recognize Jerusalem as the appointed capital of Israel. So may God put a shield on Israel and on Jerusalem. May He put a shield on the United States of America. And for all those who bless Israel, may they be blessed. So the word of God comes to pass. But realize how Haman, we recognize from him the symptoms of or the pulse of the enemy. He is, that spirit is arrogant. That spirit is boastful. It is prideful. It is very self-centered. It does not think of others, it thinks of itself. That's how you recognize that spirit of, it can be called also the spirit of Antichrist. But in this, during this festival, it is really one of the main, just like Hitler was an emblematic of that spirit of Antichrist, Haman is the Hitler of his day. And he is vindictive, vengeful. And just think, the smallest thing, it is when Mordecai was not bowing to Haman, that he said, I'm not only going to destroy him, I'm going to destroy his people.
Wow.
That's just an evil spirit of hate. And you cannot reason with it. You can bind it. You can do spiritual warfare against it. this whole political training. Let's all discuss this. Let's discuss. There may be, of course, maybe we should not judge people who have abortions. I believe God forgives as people truly repent. That's another thing. But this thing about let's compromise, let's kill the baby halfway, you know, something like that. I don't know. But this is all silly talk. We cannot negotiate with the spirit of Haman. Either we will hang or the spirit of Haman will hang.
That's good.
And as for me and my house, I choose Haman.
Amen. Yes.
To go to the gallows.
Yes.
So that spirit is a murdering spirit. He's a scheming spirit, a deceiving spirit, definitely self-serving and self-absorbed, and not a humble spirit. He just wanted to rule and be magnified in the eyes of other people. So God turned his plan around completely and gave God's people the victory. Amen.
Amen.
Shakaraba. You have something?
Perhaps on Friday at the Watch, for those of you who haven't had the unusual experience of hearing about a Purim encounter that we had a few years ago that really was in keeping with the season of rejoicing and what the Jews do of throwing convention out the window. And it involved some very religious, very powerful people, a very esteemed church, the good-looking evangelist, his
good-looking wife.
Well, thank you, good-looking wife. And barbecue.
Oh, Lord. Anyway.
I hope you come to the Watch.
Well, then we don't have time to go into the amazing character of Mordecai.
Yay!
But he was a wise man and a humble man. And he was like a spiritual father to Esther. And one of the things that the wisdom was, and that's something we can learn, is that he told Esther, don't publicly declare that you are a Jew right now. There's a certain time you do, but we sometimes talk too much. Yes. We need to hold some. I don't want to use a poker language, but sometimes don't show all your cards.
You got to know when to hold them. Know when to hold them. Know when to walk away and know when to run. You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
I don't think I can top that.
My roots are showing.
Well, we just celebrate what God did at Purim. We rejoice for this awesome, anointed Wonder Woman named Queen Esther. That God uses men like David, but anointed women like Esther.
Yeah.
And they're just like us. I bet Esther was totally scared that she could die if she went out of time, at the wrong time, to the king's presence. But she said, if I perish, I perish. That the courage in that woman was awesome. And God manifested his glory through her and through men like Mordecai. So praise God. We know that as we blew the shofar at the beginning, that God says for his watchmen to arise.
Yes.
And for his people to do battle against powers of darkness.
Yeah.
And as Esther told all the Jewish people, fast and pray with me, fast. So we cannot, more than ever, one of the things, imperatives, I believe, is that we are not to hang along. We do not get separated. We have to be together. We united in prayer, in fasting, be united so we can cover with prayer and intercession and blessing all our children, all our grandchildren. And we say, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Amen. And Michael, I was so... He's right there.
Wait for it. There he is.
Oh, there he is. And... and Armin, right there. You know, that song that you got us all together here and dancing, what was that song of? Awake, O Israel. That's, I would like, and then the team, healing team and intercessory team will be available to pray for you. But we want to celebrate.
Hallelujah, Lord.
God, and Esther lets us, says, celebrate Purim. So we are going to come up here and dance before the Lord. And then after we have done that for a moment, why don't we all stand? Hallelujah. Stretch forth your hands. So all the blessings of Purim that you and your family and your children will know God's deliverance, whatever the plans of Haman, they are canceled out. Today we declare a blessing on each of your children. Name them out loud if you can. And your grandchildren. I bless Ben and Anna, Aaron, Sarah, Paul. I bless all the family of God here and all our partners that the Purim blessings and the Purim joy be ours. In Jesus' name. And God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Come on up. Let's celebrate.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.